The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Good morning. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer and Sachs PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. Just a handful of attorneys can claim that honor. The firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and satellite offices in Orlando and Tallahassee. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. We'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where in the state you live. So give us a call, toll-free, right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions. If you're shy, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. As you know, we do a new blog topic every single Monday at www.hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, a new case makes it harder to sue your condo association. So before you decide to run into court and file a lawsuit, trust me, you want to read this column tomorrow because the court kind of put the brakes on your ability to do that. So before we start, Karen, I just want to say, what an absolute honor and a pleasure it was to meet so many of our listeners this week at our Condo Craze and HOA's board cert classes. This time we did them in Miami and Bradenton. And on Tuesday, we taught in front of a packed crowd in Miami. And on Wednesday, we taught in front of a packed crowd again in Bradenton. And so many people came out to learn something for a few hours and exchange stories and exchange solutions, really.
Nice.
Yeah, and really had a great time. And I can tell you for sure, based upon the comments that we received after, and we'll go over some of those comments, mm-hmm. A good time was definitely had by all. I was worried at first because, you know, of course, we had the terrible hurricane
sure.
in the panhandle, and I was there, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I was worried that the outskirts of Michael would slow down the crowd from coming to Bradenton.
Mm-hmm.
Did not whatsoever. I was wrong. They came in droves to
wow.
Bradenton. It was really unbelievable.
And they had solutions.
They certainly did. You know, after the seminar, I always write to everybody thanking them for coming. And this time, you can't imagine how many people wrote back with
really?
Great comments. Yeah, let's nice. Go through some of them. Fred writes in and says, Eric and team, we thank you. You guys did all the heavy lifting. You made it look easy only because you have mastered it. Thanks, Fred. Fred's a longtime listener.
No,
great
you,
guy.
You've mastered it and you invented it.
Yeah.
You
know. Good time was had by all.
Kevin in Venice, Florida writes, I enjoyed the seminar and found it interesting.
Merv, who's a licensed community association manager from Sarasota, writes in and says, we say thank you. And he writes back, no, thank you.
All caps. Lourdes from Oak Bridge Estates writes, you were sensational. I will bring up your name and the firm's name at our next meeting.
Paul writes in and says, the course is great. Loved it this year and last year as well.
Yeah.
And I love that because even though the law says you don't have to come every year, you don't have to get certified with a course every year as long as you stay on the board, I say it time and again, the laws change each
year. Yeah, it's not the same course.
It's not. There's so much to learn from year to year. So, Paul, thank you for coming 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and Peter and Olga Stokes write in and say, it is us who thank you, Mr. Glazer.
Very nice comment. And Eric Schreiber writes in and says, the material was awesome. Your humor helped also.
Hey, you're funny.
How about this, right? I couldn't believe all the questions people had, right? And then finally, Brian Clark writes in and says, listen, look at this. I thoroughly enjoyed your presentation, especially since I'm now certified and therefore finally legal since I've been president of my condo for several years now. Your address was entertaining as well as instructive as well as astonishing.
Oh,
since you were on your feet for 2.5 hours speaking on topics that would otherwise be mundane.
Right.
Thanks. Finally, someone realized it isn't easy to stand up there for a couple hours. Looking deeper into the material, however, you are potentially keeping a number of well-meaning innocents out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Think about that. This guy now understands.
He gets it.
Right. I'm doing this to kind of teach you guys and protect you from doing something that can get you in trouble. Had I known of the commitment I was making liability-wise, I may not have served.
Mm-hmm.
It sure seems that the legislature views condo board members as comprised of the same caliber of people that comprise the legislature.
Oh, my God.
Self-serving, malicious, confounding, distasteful, distrustful, biased, elitist louts that must be controlled.
And he's distasteful.
Upset. Yes, he's obviously upset that we taught so many of the laws that were passed over the last 2 years that try to combat bad behavior of condo directors that the legislature focused on the last few years. Your seminar is certainly a must-do for all condo management participants. Oh, that's right. It's also the law.
Yep.
Excellent day. Thank you. And thank you, Brian Clark.
And free.
And free. Absolutely. And
I'll tell you what, like you said, it seems like everyone had a great time and they want more, and you're going to give it to them. And the phones are just blowing up, by the way.
Yeah. All right. So let's take the first call. Cindy in Carl Springs. How are you, Cindy?
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Yes. You hear us?
Hi, Eric. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I can hear you. Thanks a lot for your show. It's very insightful.
Thank you very much.
Eric, I have a question. Yeah. I'm a secretary of a board, and on my understanding that I'm a safekeeper of the records. But I work full-time. I'm never there during business hours. So some unit owners complained to me that our vice president, who happened to be a real estate agent also, is spending a lot of time at the office digging into files and obviously having access to owners and tenants' personal information. And I don't know how to react. Should I be concerned? Is there any violations? And if yes, what should I do or what should I don't do?
Yeah.
Can you help with that?
The statute, it's kind of funny. The statute really doesn't address this. The statute says in one sense that, yes, a lot of the records that the association maintains, for example, driver's license numbers, phone numbers, email addresses, you know, all the documents that people fill out when they're trying to move into a community that contain, like, bank records, references,
right,
credit card numbers, all that stuff, technically it cannot be seen by other unit owners. But then the question becomes, but suppose you're on the board. You know, the board certainly, in order to administer the association, has the right to review the official records of the association, all of them. So I don't necessarily know. You know, it depends perhaps what that motive is. In other words, if someone, and this occasionally happens, let me give you an example. Someone on the board may have access to those files that you're talking about that other unit owners don't have. And then what they do is they'll gather up everybody's email addresses that are only available to them because they're on the board, right? And then they'll take everybody's email address, make a list, and then send them private emails saying, vote for me when it's time to run for re-election. So, yeah, things like that, no question about it, I would say violate the statute and are wrong and illegal. But other than that, in other words, does a director simply have the authority to look at the files? They probably do because, again, they're directors. You know, as long as it's not being done in bad faith for an illegal purpose, just like the rest of the statute basically says, then I think it's okay. Okay?
Or, but if that information will be used for personal
matters, then I think that director has a problem. Then I think they have a problem. Then I think they violated the statute. Potentially they can face liability. Potentially they can get kicked off the board if what they did now created a conflict of interest and the other directors can remove that director.
Should they be able to be in there nosing around by themselves? Isn't there supposed to be somebody else in there?
If you're a director, again, the statute really doesn't address it. The statute just says directors can't, unit owners can't see certain things. But what about board members? It doesn't make an exception for board members. It doesn't make an exception. I think directors, if they're saying that they need to review these files in order to do their job as directors and they're acting in good faith, okay. When they cross the line, again, like anything else, and we teach this at the seminar, when their conduct crosses the line and it's done for improper purpose, for self-interest, then that's when they're going to get in trouble. But let's do this. Let's take, I know the phones are just jammed. Let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. And if you attended any of the seminars in the last few weeks, we want to know what you got to say. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and, of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED-accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full-service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. He's board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Planned Development Law. Give him a call. The phones are loaded right now, 877-850-8585. If you have a question or concern, 877-850-8585. Get some free advice. Also, if you have a product or service that our Condo Craze and HOAs listeners can use, why not become a sponsor of our Condo Craze and HOAs radio show. You can have a commercial during the show, have display tables at all of our live events that we do throughout the state, get to meet hundreds of condo and HOA board members, and also have your company's logo and website posted on the Condo Craze and HOA's website in our email blast that we send out every week, as well as in our newsletters that we send out to tens of thousands of community associations around the state. Half the state lives in a condo or HOA, so it's millions of people. So find out more, just visit the show's website at www.condocrazeandhoas.com.
Hey, you know, I do want to just say thank you to our sponsors. Karen, you take a look at that list. Some of them have been with us for about 10 years.
Yeah, the whole time we've been on the air.
Whole time we've been on the same sponsors. Incredible. So thank you to all of them.
Because it's working for them.
It is. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it, right?
Right.
Okay, how about we go to Jack in Palm Beach Gardens. How are you, Jack?
Good morning, Counselor. How are you today?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
By way of introduction and a little brief background here, this concerns the Marina Condo Association with a budget far in excess of $100,000, which, as you know, requires anybody acting as a property manager to be licensed by the state.
Yep.
What we've got here is a dock master masquerading as an unlicensed property manager who is now retaliatory behavior in denying access to the laundry room. He shut it down. What happened was 2 weeks ago, the dryer breaks, and he tries to fix it himself. Couldn't do it. So after a week, instead of calling a service to fix it, he shuts the office down, and he takes off for 3 days to deliver a boat, makes some extra money.
Let me just cut you off for 1 second, Jack. Jack?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff there.
Yeah, let me slow you down for a second. When you say this is a marina condominium, so you're saying people don't live there, this is a place for your boats?
But people live on board.
Oh, but people are living on board. Ah, I got you. So this is a liveaboard condominium. I get it. Okay, yeah. Very interesting. Very unique. Very unique.
Yeah, not too many of them available, obviously, and this is a wonderful place.
I never thought of that.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. Go right ahead.
For the most part, this guy does a great job, but unfortunately, he's developed this messianic, high-handed attitude that he thinks he's God. You know, he doesn't work for us; we work for him.
Okay.
But anyhow,
glad you say that.
Right. The dryer breaks; he takes off, and someone get really hot, and they leave him a note in his absence in the laundry room saying, "Stop moonlighting on our marina time and fix the damn dryer." Right. Well, he comes home and he goes nuts. And he really wants ballistic. He goes and he changes the locks on the door, puts a sign on the door saying he's refusing to fix the dryer, and now the laundry room is off limits.
Okay, but you know whose fault this is? Hold on, Jack. I got to cut you off because we got to move on to a lot of different calls. But let me say this: you know whose fault that is?
The board.
Or something. Exactly, Karen. Exactly. That's the board's fault. That's when you give a manager too much power, and that manager believes that it's their community, it's not the board's community. And I try to teach this throughout the state. It's so frustrating sometimes to teach this concept for me. I'll finish with a seminar, and people will come over and say, you know, Mr. Glazer, we've wanted to change counsel. We wanted to change management companies. We're not happy with some of the service providers that perform service for our condo, but our management company tells us we can't do it.
Well, if they're paying him to be the manager and he's not licensed with the $100,000 bond, that's a liability to the board members.
Of course, but there are, you know, other managers, but a lot of times people on the board throughout the state, and unfortunately I see this in all candor, the older the community, this happens more and more in 55 and over communities, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's easier, to push around if it's people that are over 55. And it's very unfortunate, but I see it all the time. I'm told, no, we can't change our vendor because our management company said we can't.
They can change the one guy that mows the water.
Yeah, that... The bottom, yeah, mows the water. The bottom line is that the management company works for you.
Yeah.
If a management company tells you you can't change the vendor, trust me, it's time to change the management company.
Because, I mean, the man, yeah.
Yeah, there's just total confusion sometimes.
How much is a dryer?
I have no idea. I don't know why a manager would give an association a problem about changing a dryer.
A couple hundred bucks, right?
But the more important thing about that phone call is to understand the nature of relationships and associations. The manager or the management company works for you. They're a vendor like everybody else.
Right.
The management company is no different than your lawyer, then your lawn cutter, then the exterminator. They're a vendor, period. You're not happy with them, and they tell you that you can only use certain vendors. Trust me, it's time to move on to a different management company. How about we go to Lon in Winter Haven?
Hi, how are you doing today, Eric?
How are you, Lon? How can we help?
Pretty fine. I'm trying to make it quick. In our deed restrictions, we have an article that says, no owner shall park, store, or keep any truck or any vehicle other than a private passenger vehicle on unenclosed parking space, except for a half ton, no more than a half ton. The question is, can the board write an exception to that rule? Or does that have to be done by the majority of all the
members? It's in your declaration of condominium, or declaration of covenants, I should say?
Yes.
Okay, so if it's in, and this is something we teach all the time, too. And it's a great question, Lon. I'm glad you asked. So your superior document here, your Declaration of Covenants, has a provision that already talks about trucks. So if the board wants to now do anything at all that's going to change that provision in regards to trucks, modify it, you know, clarify it, whatever, then the bottom line, that's going to take an amendment to the governing documents. And I'm glad you asked that question, because boards get in trouble all the time. Generally speaking, boards have wide latitude to make reasonable rules and regulations regarding the common areas, right? The wide latitude, and the rules have to be, can't be arbitrary, can't be capricious, got to be related in some way to the health, welfare, and safety of the community. And another thing that the rule can't do, it can't abrogate, it can't change what is already in the superior documents. And that seems to be the case here. So the board wants to change the provisions regarding trucks, but trucks are already mentioned in your governing documents. You are right. Got to have the community vote on changing that specific provision.
And if I can expand on that just a bit, yeah. In the event of a truck being over a half ton, maybe a three-quarter ton truck, and it's been here for 5 years, maybe there's three or four of them, and the board failed to act on that,
then that's grandfathered, and there's no chance. Yeah, no, they're in. There's no way suddenly you can make it illegal and this person has to now sell their truck. No, that would absolutely not be allowed in an association.
It's like saying
all of, you know, you had a dog that that weighs, you know, 50 pounds, and all of a sudden the board decides to make a rule that says dogs cannot be more than 10 pounds. What do you got to do? Sell your dog? Of course not.
Right.
That dog would be grandfathered in. Okay?
But any further ones coming in would not.
Yes, we're correct. It would apply going forward only.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks.
All right?
I appreciate it.
Good call.
That.
No, thank you. Good call. Trucks, you can, and I've blogged about this many times before. You may want to, those of you who are interested about the truck scenario, go on our blog, hoa-condoblog.com. We do a new topic every single Monday morning. And it tell you that blog, now think about it, Karen. I've been writing a new column 52 weeks a year, and I've probably been doing it for, 7 years now? So I've blogged about like 350 different topics in that blog. A great, great resource if you want to do some research or find out about a specific topic. Use it to your advantage. Believe me, a lot of great information on that blog. Let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Love the phone calls this morning, keeping me on my toes. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years' experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116. Or grgcpa.com.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or paint and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website, pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in condo law and plan development law. If you have a question for him, free 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And you've really kind of gotten through most of these courses, just a couple left.
Couple left in 2018, and then it'll start all over again. But as you say, Karen, the election season is here for both condos and HOAs. Had elections this week, got elections coming up. Had it last week, have more coming up this week. I mean, yeah, it's busy season, busy time of year now for associations. And remember, if you don't get certified either a year before getting on the board or within 90 days after getting on the board, you're automatically off the board. And one way of getting certified is by attending our really popular Condo Craze Board Cert class. We've certified over 15,000 Floridians all across the state. As you know, it's really what I love to do. And our class was also approved by the DBPR to provide two 2019 legal update credits for all community association managers that attend. So take the class with your manager. Why not?
Absolutely. Right? And October 26th, you're going to be at the Tampa Convention Center, 8:30 in the morning at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo.
All right. Back on the road next week already. And again, the really big event, December 6th, 2018. It's the event that's put on by this show, by my office. 5 o'clock, December 6th at Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. And, you know, that's going to be a great event. We serve dinner to everybody. And
such a great venue.
Dessert to everybody. It's a great, fun venue. We have, needless to say, all our sponsors are going to be there with tables, and you get to meet all of them. And it's going to be a wonderful event, that I could promise.
I'll be there, too, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Eric teaches so many different topics at the seminar, including the importance of the from-time-to-time language, official records, and the different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support, animals, including squirrels.
Especially squirrels.
Especially squirrels. Collections, manager responsibilities, all of the new laws that were passed this year, many of which Eric wrote himself, and a lot more. Food is served. It's free. It's delicious. Everyone walks out with a nice frameable certificate, and certainly much, much wiser. And by the end of it, you don't even take notes because Eric gives you everything he said in writing at the end. It's like awesome.
So, yeah, everybody really has a good time.
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous. Well done.
And to register, everybody, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com. I'll tell you, Karen, we made a joke about squirrels as emotional support animals.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I'm telling you, without a doubt. Hottest topic still.
Yeah,
at the seminar. People going crazy about the fact that their neighbor has an emotional support animal in a no-pet community.
Yep.
What do we do? It's still a tremendous problem.
It's bigger than the baby. You can't have the baby in there in a 55 and over.
Right, right. Imagine the grandchild has to go, but the pet squirrel can stay. I mean, that's how ridiculous some things are. All right, but let's do this. Let's take Joe and Boynton.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
HOA, 7 board members. The committee meeting is being held. The liaison is a board member is present, and the president is present. And 2 other board members walk in to observe as residents. Can they stay, or have they leave because there's more than a majority there?
If you have a quorum of board members getting together to discuss business, then yes, that is a board meeting. Absolutely. If it starts to engage in a discussion where you have a quorum of board members there, then yet to me that's absolutely a meeting. You got to be careful, and that's why you generally have only a if you're going to have members of the board serve on committees. Again, only have 1 or 2 people from the board serve on that committee, so you don't run into the problem of having a quorum of members of board members at a meeting that had to be noticed.
But what is that? I'm there to observe. And I'm a board. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
first before you're a board member.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're
I get it, and it's I get it. It's unfortunate that that the law really doesn't clarify this, Joe. I get where you're coming from. You know, so it would be. Do you have a problem if just you're there to attend a committee meeting and you're not serving in your capacity as an actual board member? All I can tell you is what the statute says. The statute says if a group of board members, a quorum of board members, is in attendance, and basically you're talking shop, you know, you're engaging in association business, and obviously by being there, you're engaging in association business. To me, it's now a meeting.
Yeah, it doesn't differentiate between observing and participating.
You know, right? Are you there to engage in association business? And the answer is yes. Then to me, that's a meeting, and perhaps. Finally, the legislature, and maybe I'll, write something this year to kind of address that, because that's a topic that comes up routinely on this show, and it's probably something that should be clarified a lot better than it is right now. And certainly we'd love to know what our listeners think about that. You know, has this quorum thing gone too far? As Joe brings out, suppose you're just going to observe another committee meeting. Mm-hmm. Does that now mean because there's a quorum of board members in attendance at that committee meeting that it's now a board meeting?
As a resident, you're
Jack, Joe, I'm sorry, I completely understand where you're coming from, and I think the legislature needs to get a handle on that.
Change your hat.
Yeah, and fix it going forward. But it's a good call, and I appreciate it. How about we go to Lee in Lighthouse Point?
Good morning, Mr. Glazer. Enjoy your program.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a website where we can follow your thoughts?
Well, we do it in so many ways. Number one, of course, is this show. Number two is hoa-condoblog.com. And HOA-condoblog.com. Yeah, and that blog, as I was saying, we've been writing that blog. How that blog works, it's really a unique kind of blog because I'll start a topic every Monday morning, whatever that topic may be. I write on Mondays, and then on Wednesdays, Darlis Walker, who is a community association manager.
Love her.
Absolutely, and she'll give you her take on that same topic, but it'll be from the perspective of a community association manager. And then on Fridays, we have the unit owner representative king of the state, quite frankly, Jan Bergman's from Cyber Citizens for Justice. He'll take the point of view on that same topic from a unit owner's perspective. Right. So, again, you get you take a topic. I kind of teach the law part of it. And then on Wednesdays, you'll get the perspective of a manager. And on Fridays, you'll get the perspective of a unit owner. So, you know, again, you get three different views on the same issue. But I'll start it out and I'll teach at least what the law currently says on that topic. So that's a great way of really learning the law. And I can tell you there's like hundreds and hundreds of different topics on that website right now.
Okay, my specific question, I missed the last show of yours, but a fellow unit owner said that regarding his question on dogs and pets, that if a dog doesn't bite and a dog doesn't bark and the owner cleans up after the dog, anywhere the unit owner is allowed to walk on that condo property, the dog can go.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
Specifically follow one road and that's it.
That's you're 100% right. If that dog is an emotional support animal or a service animal, that dog gets to go wherever the unit owners go. Now, some unit owners have tried to take it too far. Some unit owners have said, well, I go in the pool, he's coming in with me. No, he's not. No, he'll let you know we laugh, but this happens. So they're not allowed in the water.
Yeah, no, absent the pool, the owner on a first floor apartment opens a sliding door and says, hey, you can't walk your dog past me because he might pee, he might poo, even though the unit owner has his dog bag, cleanup bag with him, he could tell the guy to fly a kite.
That's exactly right. You can tell the guy to fly a kite.
I got you.
Yeah.
Thank you for clearing that up.
You got it. No problem, Lee. All right, let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. I know we still have phone calls on the line, but time to take our final break. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585, 877. Don't wait, by the way. Don't wait. Don't wait for the 2 minutes before the show, and then we're rushing. So, again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news! There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association. Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to the last segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Zaks. He specializes in condominium and plan development law. Give him a call right here, toll-free. Free information, free advice, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Get in now before the show ends.
It's funny, we've been talking about, during the break, we're talking about what kind of crazy dreams we all have.
Yes.
So I have, I don't know, somehow this got to be related to law. I have the same dream time and again. I'm wandering around my high school not knowing what class I have next or how to get there.
Oh.
And I try to go to look at my program card. My program card is like ripped up. I can't read it. And I'm wandering and I'm getting nervous that I'm now late for my next class.
Are you naked?
No, I'm not naked. No, I'm wearing clothes, but I am petrified because I don't know where to go. And another dream, I'm being told that, sorry, you never really passed the bar, and you're not really have this all the time. Well, you know, you never graduated from college.
Oh my goodness!
No, we reviewed your records. You didn't have this all the time. Now, the funny part is,
it's common.
It's very common. I looked it up. People who attorneys, doctors, they have this dream very, very commonly that they're being told, sorry, you didn't actually graduate with enough credits. You got to go back. And I'm screaming in my dream. I'm doing this 25 years. What do you mean? Nope. Got to go back from the beginning. And you wake up. Let me tell you something. It is so real.
Yeah.
So I ain't going back to school. It's not going to happen.
No.
Right now. Not going to happen. All right. How about we go to Jennifer in Boca? How are you, Jennifer?
Thank you. I'm okay. Two quick questions. First one relates to your first caller with regard to publishing and sending all owners background check information required prior to approval to purchase and divulging prior DUI.
Okay.
As well as other personal information. The other question relates to a car that was legally parked, and I've been harassed for almost a year, followed, stalked, charged that head on by someone and so on. The other relates to most recently, they got notice from the Florida DBPR, Department of what, Condos, Timeshares, Co-op.
Yes.
That they are required, took 5 months, to provide documents, all kinds of things, mostly financials, election records, and so on, for the last 3 to 7 years. When they receive that, there's always retribution, and my car got stickered. and saying it was going to be towed. Well, it has to be registered, which it was when the home was purchased. It was legally parked, and they're threatening to tow the car.
Because of why? Why? Maybe
they said there was.
Wait, Jennifer, I don't understand. They're trying to. They're threatening to tow your car because. Fill in the blank.
I don't know.
Well, is it because you filed a complaint? Did I understand right that you filed a complaint of some kind?
Yes, I filed documents with the state about 5-6 months ago, and then most recently in the last couple weeks, they were notified that they're on notice.
Okay,
produce documents.
Okay.
So it's like most things, it's retribution.
Okay, all right, I gotcha. All right. So two different types of things that were raised here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Elliot to put you on hold so we can answer both of your questions, okay? All right, so Jennifer from Broca raises a situation where, number one, I thought she was saying that the board is publishing some information that they shouldn't because the records are private. So Florida leads the nation in identity theft.
Okay. Really?
No two ways about it. Florida leads the nation in identity theft. So there's a statute that says the board must maintain a whole host of different types of records, right? You know, we all know what those are. You know, whether they be the original governing documents, all contracts, the bank records, the monthly statements of everybody showing who's paying and who's not paying. You know, it can go on forever. Your insurance records, your financial documents, the year-end reports, right? A very lengthy statute about what records the association is required to maintain. Now, just because the association is required to maintain all these records does not mean that the unit owners get to see all of these records. And we kind of spoke about this earlier. So what are the things, one of the things that the unit owners don't get the right to see? One of the things is all the documents that unit owners or renters file with the association when they're trying to move into the community. Because a lot of times they make you fill out very lengthy applications, right? That's, you know, gives bank references and driver's license and social security numbers and stuff. So all of that information is protected. That cannot be seen by any unit owner whatsoever. You know, and the question became earlier, well, what about board members? Board members who have to rule on whether or not someone's able to move into the community, certainly don't have a problem with them seeing it. Anybody else? No. So there's, again, strong public policy here. Because Florida leads the nation in identity theft, we want to make sure that these private records, these very personal records, are not seen by anybody who really shouldn't be seeing them to begin with. Now, the next thing that Jennifer was talking about is kind of like retaliatory conduct, right? You go and you exercise your right against the association to speak publicly to government agencies, and as a result, perhaps the association takes revenge against you, right? They're now going to make your life miserable. Well, Florida statutes, both the Condominium Act and the HOA Act, have a provision that talk just about that. And under the law, that's what's known as a slap suit, okay? S-L-A-P-P, and it's an acronym. What does it stand for? Strategic lawsuit against public participation. Mm-hmm. Strategic lawsuit against public participation. Basically, it's when the board or the association goes after you for exercising your constitutional right to participate publicly in addressing your grievances with public officials, with public entities, against your own association. So the statute basically prohibits your association from taking retaliatory conduct against you. And if they do, you can get an injunction against them. You can get damages against your association. You could potentially get punitive damages against your association. And again, generally speaking, we teach at our course that board members, you're immune from liability as long as you act within good faith. Well, if it's found that you acted in bad faith and you tried to, you know, quash somebody's First Amendment rights because they came after you, you know, your association in a legal way by addressing their grievances in public bodies and public meetings, then board members, you can get sued in your individual capacity. So be careful. So what Jennifer raised, two very important, crucial issues in associations, but don't retaliate against anybody who's simply exercising their First Amendment rights to address grievances with government bodies. Again, if you file such a suit, that's called a slap suit, strategic lawsuit against public participation. You, the association, members of the board can all get sued and pay damages. So I hope that answers Jennifer's question. How about we go to Dolores in Tamarack? How are you, Dolores?
Hello. Thank you for accepting my call.
Sure,
I live in an over 55 community and recently discovered that the board members have placed our $300,000 accumulation of funds into six different accounts. And my question is whether or not this is legal, and I don't even know who has exact access to each of those accounts.
Okay, I don't know if we blogged about it last week or we're going to blog about it in a week or two. Do you know how much your budget is of your association, Dolores? What's your budget each year?
The total amount, it's $200,000 accumulated from the HOA fees. However, an extra $100,000 was given to us so that a builder could build and access to our waterways.
I understand. Okay.
So
yes. So the builder gave you guys some money so that you don't oppose something that that builder wants to do. Understand.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's say these six different accounts, generally the law does not object to commingling in these accounts for the purposes of investment. Okay? It's not a problem. Are any of these monies reserve funds?
I really don't know. I'm not a member of the board, and I am not financially accurate with what is really going on.
Okay, so let's say this. Okay, let's say this. So generally, all these types of funds can be commingled. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? Nothing illegal about it. However, when it comes to reserve funds, if some of those monies are supposed to be set aside for reserves, you better make sure that the commingled bank balance doesn't equal less than the amount that should be there for reserves. Follow? And then we have another question, and this comes up all the time. The question becomes, let's say your budget in a condominium is $10,000 a month, meaning that your total annual budget is $120,000 a year for your association. And the end of the year comes, and your association has $200,000 in the bank. Forget about reserves. We're not going to talk about reserves, but there's $200,000 extra in the bank. Well, generally accepted accounting principles would say no problem having an extra 3-4 months on hand to pay bills, right? And if your bills are $10,000 a month, no problem if you have $30,000-$40,000 extra on hand. But what about if you have an extra $150,000 on hand? Does the board have a right simply to keep that money going forward and not do anything with it? And I will tell you that no, the answer is the board can't do that with your money. That's what's called common surplus funds. And those common surplus funds, again, need to be applied to next year's budget, and it should be used to reduce the amount of monies that people pay going forward next year. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because you told me that a developer gave you guys $100,000. Well, what do you do with that $100,000?
Right.
That should be used going forward next year to reduce everybody's assessments going forward. Okay? It's not the board's money simply to play with.
Okay. Thank you. I think I followed your explanation, which was very precise. They did use, or that $100,000 beyond the $200,000 supposedly is to repair the kitchen in the clubhouse.
Right. Okay.
Now, yes.
Well, we don't know. If there's reserves, you know, the answer to that question as to whether or not they can do it may depend upon what's in reserves. It may depend upon whether or not it's a material alteration. We don't know. I'd have to know a lot more. But, Dolores, we need to move on to the next call. How about we go to Donata in Miami? How are you, Donata?
Hi, Eric. How are you? In
Good
regard
morning.
To what you were saying about this last topic, what about board members as unit owners and board members not only retaliating but literally harassing, throwing away your chairs, throwing poison on your plants?
Well, that's potentially a crime. That's a bottom line is, you know, in the Miami-Dade grand jury report that came out 2 years ago, It became clear the legislature focused on combating condo crime. Right, wrong, or indifferent, the bottom line is that report came out and made it seem like all board members that serve on a board are horrible people that simply want to steal from your association and use the association as their personal business. I don't agree with that. I want that to be clear. I don't agree with that being the case. But every once in a while, there's going to be a bad board member out there, just like, before everybody goes crazy, just like there are bad attorneys out there who steal from their trust account every once in a while, just like there are bad doctors out there who commit Medicare fraud, and just like there are bad teachers out there that sometimes sleep with their students, right? These things happen. I don't think board members are any better or any worse than most other professionals that are out
these
there.
These things happen.
These things happen. But the bottom line is, yes, every once in a while, you know, even catch it on video sometimes where a board member will do a dumb thing and retaliate. And they wind up getting caught. Now, if it's the type of situation where they killed your plants, or they went after your pet, or they bothered your children, some of this may actually be criminal in nature, right? So the answer is, you know, forget about suing them. You know, yes, you can sue them after the fact, but if a board member or anybody else, for that matter, your neighbor commits a violent act like that, that's a crime. That's a crime under Florida law. So you pick up the phone and you call the police. You know, that's
and
what you have to do in those situations.
And the police doesn't do anything. We've called the police more than 10 times.
Well, hold on. Let me say this.
When
these laws were passed over the last 2 years, I will say this. You know, it's now a crime if a board member tampers with an election envelope. It's a crime if there's, you know, fraud in the election process, things like that. I'm like, you know, it sounds nice, but what are you going to do? You're going to walk into the police station and say, hi, my board member just signed someone else's name to this envelope. Arrest them? I'm sorry, we're in the middle of this homicide investigation. I'm not going to put, you know, we have terrorism that we're worried about. We can't worry about, you know, investigating this you know, ballot fraud. So I always thought that that's going to frustrate a lot of people. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about violent crime that happens. I'm talking about fist fights. I'm talking about threats. I'm talking about
didn't some guy end up in like in a trunk of a car?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, how about how schools have police, the police school district police? What about condo police?
Well, let me tell you, there's been legislators who proposed having special investigators with power to investigate condo and HOA crime.
That would make sense.
Maybe they would, each state attorney's office, maybe should have, you know, a prosecutor or two assigned for just that.
Doesn't that make sense?
I think it does. It might make sense because I think people are going to be frustrated if they really think, like Donata says, that they're going to walk into their police department and a detective is going to, you know, open an investigation because someone tampered with a ballot. Good luck with that. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't even know if that's the right place to actually address those type of complaints. Probably should be done in a different type of setting. But that brings us to the end of another week. Had a great time today, everybody, keeping me on my toes. Look forward to seeing everybody in Tampa in the upcoming week and seeing and speaking to everybody next Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great week, everybody.